Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, it is FMC. I am Jeremy. That is SP3. It is Tuesday, July 11th. It's been a couple weeks. I feel like it's been like 3 weeks. I don't think it's been quite that long, but our schedule's been so on and off throughout June and now the first week of July. It just feels like it's been too long. SP3, how you been, buddy?
I mean, at least everything is happening, you know, technically after the season has ended. But we have said before on this show that the NBA season never ends. So we had plenty to talk about last week, but I unfortunately couldn't make it here. I needed 1 week myself. So we are back here and we got a lot to discuss because we got 2 weeks worth of free agency to talk about. And you put Britney Spears in the thumbnail,
yeah,
which had me preparing for this show by singing Britney Spears' hit song. Because I was like, yo, this chick, y'all should have been there. Y'all should have been there. It's in the moment, in the early aughts, the late 90s, Britney Spears was on a streak of banger after banger after banger after banger. Come on, yo. Hit me, baby, one more time. You drive me crazy. Oops, I did it again.
Slave for you.
When she came out a few years later, Toxic. Oh.
Toxic, yep. Britney had nothing but bangers, man. What a generational talent.
Generational. Put people on game. She revolutionized lip singing and dancing for concerts. That was revolutionary. No, but just so talented at making hit songs. So good.
Yeah, she's in the thumbnail because Victor Wembanyama made headlines before he even played in a basketball game, before he even played in summer league, because one of the security people pushed her away, shoved her away, slapped her away, however you want to frame it. And he just kind of joked about it and laughed. And look, man, just apologize. Just be like, I didn't see what happened. My security handled that. I'm sorry. He probably has no idea who Britney Spears is, honestly. He's a 19-year-old French kid. Like, he lived in different parts. I understand Britney was big for our time, but Britney nowadays, she just does her Las Vegas residency and everything. But I can see that the kids these days probably don't know who the Britney Spears is. I get that. But just apologize and just be like, sorry about that. Like, didn't mean any harm. Instead, it laughs and everybody was like, oh, Wemby's going to get it now. And then he had not a great performance in his first game. Looked a lot better in his second game, but not a great performance in his first game. And Britney Spears' Twitter lit that man up. Lit him up. They were putting, he got dunked on in the first game. They were putting, oops, I did it again, over the dunk highlights and everything. Britney Spears' Twitter, by the way, there's levels to like the Twitterdom out there for people that don't know, for people who just only know like wrestling Twitter, like wrestling Twitter is not bad. It's all, I think all like Twitter fan bases are a little toxic, especially when you want to, especially if you go like outside of the fan base, but even inside the fan base, like if you go to Taylor Swift Twitter, it's all just like positive Taylor Swift stuff for the most part. If you try to come in and infiltrate the Taylor Swift Twitter, they'll attack you to hell. But I imagine these other stan fan bases, they're just like, they're positive about their people. Wrestling is not positive about its people at all. We hate everything. But wrestling Twitter, like, is fine. There's some good jokes. There's some good personalities and stuff. NBA Twitter is a level above that. The personalities are way turned up. The jokes are way turned up.
Yeah, the jokes are better. The jokes are better on NBA Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When Jericho tried to go after NBA Twitter, that ended so bad. He did not understand what he was about to get into. Like, he did not understand it at all. Because Jericho on wrestling Twitter, like, he'll have his detractors and stuff. But most people, they look at Jericho as a legend because he is. And they're like, ah, Chris, haha. And everybody on wrestling Twitter loves, like, a good, like, dunk. Like, oh, look at him. He just dunked on him. This is great. NBA Twitter don't care. Kevin Durant is on NBA Twitter, and people light this man up on NBA Twitter. Kevin Durant's jumping into spaces and stuff on trying to defend himself and trying to defend people who know basketball. NBA Twitter doesn't care. They're like, Kevin Durant's here? Who cares? This dude is just another random Twitter avatar to us. Not you know, one of the greatest scorers of all time. They will go after that man. They don't care. So Chris Jericho jumping over to NBA Twitter, they didn't care who this man was, especially in the wrestling world. They lit him up. So Britney Twitter, though, they've been through it, right? Like, all the Kevin Federline stuff, the conservatorship stuff, the rise, bald head. Fall. Yeah, like, they have been through it. The Leave Britney Alone, that was like, oh, one of the first, man, big, like, social media memes, right? Like, yes. Britney Twitter been through it. So NBA Twitter coming after them. Victor Wembanyama, who they have no idea who this guy is, right? He never played a basketball game.
NBA Twitter barely know who this guy is.
Yeah. NBA Twitter will go after Wembanyama. After that first game, they're like, oh, this dude sucks. Bust. Like, bowl, French bowl, and all this stuff. Like, they did not care at all. NBA Twitter.
French bowl. That's ridiculous. Yeah,
French bowl was a big one after the first game. They don't care at all, right? Like, but Britney Twitter was going after him as well. Like, yeah, Britney Twitter been through it. You attacked their girl, that's a wrap. That's a wrap for that person. Britney Twitter is going after them. So yeah, Britney Twitter was hilarious after all of this stuff happened with the after that first game and everything with Britney and then Wembanyama. So, man, Britney's an OG. You can't disrespect the OGs like that. You got to get it together, Wemby. Just apologize. Apologize.
But you have to understand when Wemby kind of was at the age of memory, because I don't know about everybody else, but for me, my vivid memories start about from like 5-6 years old. So I would think that for most people, it's around that age, maybe a little bit, you know, old. Younger than that, maybe a little bit older, who knows? But around that age is when you start having memories. By that age, Britney Spears wasn't, you know, the mega star that we grew up. That's why I said you had to be there. It was a moment in time when Britney Spears was the number one pop star in the world. But for Victor Wembanyama, it was just another woman there at that hotel or wherever it happened. He said that she grabbed him. She says she tapped him on the shoulder. Then they're going back and forth with those type of allegations. It's kind of crazy, but I mean, it's 2023. We need crazy stuff, I guess.
You knew the video was coming out, though. Like, they got cameras everywhere in Las Vegas. Like, you knew the video was coming out. Again, just be like, I didn't see what happened. I didn't know who it was. My security handled it. Sorry, this became a thing. This is where he just needs a smart PR person and to just be look, that's man, true. I understand you might not know who Britney Spears is. I get that. But, like, here's all you got to say. Just be like, hey, sorry. Didn't know what was going on. Didn't see what happened. I apologize to her. You don't have to say you're a fan. You don't have to lie like LeBron out here. I Wemby gonna be like, Brittany loved that Oops, I Did It Again. I was rocking out to that in my mom's belly. Loved Oops, I Did It Again. I told her about Oops, I Did It Again.
Oops, I Did It Again was what my dad said to my mom when I was conceived. Oops, I did it again.
You just this is when a smart PR person just needs to coach him, tell him, just say this, okay? I get you might not know who Britney Spears is. You got to understand this woman is loved by millions who is a big part of their childhood, all right? You got to understand a lot of your fan bases were in their mom's basement looking at these Britney Spears pictures, all right? You gotta get who Britney Spears is, and you just can't say anything negative about this woman. All these girls who might be fans of yours, they grew up idolizing this girl. Don't say nothing negative about Britney Spears. Just don't.
And he should have learned from the whole, you know, Save Britney campaign. They did a whole campaign to free her from her parent. Like, that right there, I would never want to mess with that celebrity. I was like, with that type of fan base that will rally behind her and actually get her free from her dad, like, that's the fan base that I don't want to mess with. So, yeah, I agree with you. He should probably just kind of bow and realize who you're messing with, realize the fan base that you're messing with, and realize that the footage is right there. It's out there now. And you could just say, okay, I didn't know. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Let's move past this so we can focus on how you're doing on the court. And like you said, he had a great second game. I think 24 points, 12 rebounds. He looked really good. And even in the first game, he looked good. And I kind of heard that from people that watched him in the French League, was that he'll start off and he'll try to get kind of into things, but he'll just look like a guy that, like, 5 minutes into the game, you're like, oh, is this the guy worth the hype? And then after he feels a little bit comfortable, like the second quarter, third quarter, you start seeing those special moments. And we saw some of that in the first game. And then the second game, you could tell he was much more comfortable. And that's why he had a double-double. So I want to focus on Wembanyama on the court finally, because after all the hype, that's what we should be focused on. And not hit me, baby, one more time. My loneliness is killing me, and I must confess, I still believe, when I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time.
That's a good song. That's a good man. I listen to Britney Spears.
That's her first hit. First hit. Oh my God. She hit it out the park. We up here singing it 30 something years later.
Came out the gate with that and the schoolgirl outfit. Look, man, I'm just speaking for every middle school, high school male out there when Britney Spears was coming out. That's what we were watching. That's what we were paying attention to.
Y'all don't realize how big Britney Spears was, how big TRL was.
TRL,
like,
yeah.
It was an afternoon staple. Yep. Like, you get home, and for, you know, when we were kids growing up, you get home, you would watch a Pokemon. You would watch, you know, the Nickelodeon had the block with, like, Rocket Power. And then you would get a little bit later, you would get the Rugrats and stuff like that. But then when you got into your preteens, your teenage years, it was TRL. TRL is where you wanted to watch when you got home. Carson Daly, and you would always see a Britney Spears music video. It didn't matter if she had an album out 6 months ago, 8 months ago, she would still be in the top 10. Britney Spears was a staple of that TRL era. Her, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Eminem, Lip Biscuit, Korn. That's like that. Oh, a Christina generation. Aguilera. Christina Aguilera. Yeah, yep. Can't forget Christina Aguilera. Yes, yeah. That's like an era of music was right there.
H-Shock says his generation's favorite music were inspired by Britney Spears. Yeah, 100%. Britney was like, there were famous pop stars before that. Madonna, obviously. but like Britney was a different level of pop star for a new generation in a more television and even online era, that, you know, Madonna wasn't really an online stuff. The music video stuff, certainly. I didn't grow up listening to a whole lot of Madonna, and that was not my generation of music. But Britney, certainly, that was my generation of music. And she was the biggest thing in the world when she came out. The absolute biggest thing in the world. So, in a movie. She was in a movie. It sucked, but everyone had to act like it was good because Britney Spears was in it. Like, am I lying, SP3? Like, we all...
No. You're not lying. I just love the delivery. We had to all act like it was good.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was not.
Crossroads? We all had to be ready.
Yes, Crossroads.
Yeah, is what it was called. We all, when that movie came out, we were all like, oh, this Britney Spears movie, it's so good. Like, Britney's in it. This is great. And then, like, we all watched it. It was like, it was good, and we couldn't say anything like good about it except that like Britney Spears looked good in it. That was like it. She's like, oh man, the music was good, but we couldn't actually say anything about like the acting or the story or whatever, because like it sucked and we all knew it did, but nobody wanted to be mean about saying something negative about Britney Spears, because it was just like, you don't say anything negative about Britney. You just don't.
Britney Spears, even if you were like younger or the same age as her, they treated her like a child who's playing sports and they're not really good at the sport. You were there, you played. Yeah. You did good. Good job. You were on the court. I saw you. You were running back and forth. I saw you. Yeah, you were there. Good job.
But then she got older, and then everybody just tore her down, which, you know, very famous South Park episode about that. Once she got older and be like, all right, well, now we can be just, we were way too nice about her here. Now we just got to be super mean about her here. And now, you know, nowadays, like, this honestly led into just what we see nowadays, where it's like, all right, let's react to everything immediately. So I will switch back to basketball now. Wemby, first game, wasn't great. Just didn't have a good game. Didn't look like he had a great feel for the game at all. Positioning was off. Just missed some stuff that he probably should have. He missed a dunk, which is never a great sign. Chet missed a dunk in his first game back, too. I was very upset. But just didn't look great in the first game. Second game looked a lot better. Looked a lot more like the guy he was hyped up to be. And we will see what happens moving forward. I will say this about Summer League. It's a lot, one, overreactions after one or two games, things like that. It's not the prettiest basketball in the world. I mean, it's a lot of like rookie or like first year, 1 year, 2 year players out there. It's mainly rookies and like 1 year guys and guys who like honestly won't have a spot in the rotation this year. It's not very organized as far as like how much they've played together and stuff. Like, I'm sure these guys have only had like a couple weeks of practice together. The rosters just came out like a week before Summer League started. So you can understand why it's not the most organized sport in the world. It's very just free for all basketball. And sometimes it looks very fun, and other times it just looks like just a disorganized mess, and you can't tell who's good out of any of this stuff. And I think that's why the good performances really stand out more. Like, Scoot didn't play a lot. He had to leave the game with the injury, but like, you could tell he's just better than all of these guys. Jalen Williams, yeah. OKC player, you know, he was in the league last year and he was good as a rookie for OKC last season. He played like one quarter, there's a little bit more than that, of Summer League this year. You could just tell he was just head and shoulders above everybody on the court in that game. Just like, yeah, he doesn't need to be here. And that's why he only played one game. He's like, yeah, we know Jalen's good. Like, we don't need to keep him in this game. But you can really tell like who doesn't really need to be there and who's actually going to be good. And then these other guys were just fighting for a spot. And it's not the prettiest basketball at times, but it's still basketball, right? It's still basketball.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to this draft class, Victor Wembanyama is going to come out and like 10 years from now, we'll say he was the best player. But I think that Scoot Henderson is the one that's most ready for the NBA right now. He seems like his body is ready. He's there mentally. He's there for the game. So that's why I think that they had to see where he was at with Summer League. But yeah, you could tell that he's not long for there. He's going to be, saving up for the regular season, and he's going to have a great regular season, especially after they complete this trade with Dame Lillard. As far as Victor Wembanyama, I think that now that he's comfortable, we're going to be seeing more performances like we saw in that second game with the double-double. I think he's going to be doing that more consistently with Summer League, despite how you said the style is there. And we just need to understand that Victor Wembanyama, number one overall pick, he's going to be a star or he's going to be a bust. But at the end of the day, right now, he could say he's lucky. They could say, he's so lucky. He's a star, but he cries in his lonely heart thinking, is there nothing missing in my life? Then why do these tears come at night?
That's a good song.
It is so good. So good.
Love the, she put out banger pop songs, but she could also do the nice, slow, like feelings in your feelings songs as well.
Yes.
It's a good song. Yeah. Like the team he's playing with in the Spurs, it's not a good team as an NBA team. Their summer league team certainly ain't much better. So he's not playing with the best players in the world around him either. I don't know. That Spurs team's just not very good. I mean, there's a reason why they're drafted number one overall anyway. Like, I understand they won the lottery. And they weren't the actual worst team in the league this past season, but it's not a good team on paper. No. They got Pop, and Pop is gonna make them competitive, especially now that he's got a talented centerpiece to build around. But we'll see when it comes to Wimby. I think he's gonna be good. I think that people are really worried about his frame, and this is the same stuff saw a lot about Chet and everything. Here's the thing: when you watch in summer league, there's only a handful of guys in the league that like really bully people in the post like that. Like, yeah. There's Embiid, there's Jokic. Otherwise, there's not a whole lot of like bigs and stuff that are just going to bully people in the post and like post up like that. And what Victor and Chet do is they're great at just deterring drives, and it's a drive heavy league. It's not really a post up league or anything. So, and they're great at just deterring drives, and they obviously have very long arms. They can get their hands up, get their arms out and everything. And like, they just alter shots in that way. Chet, certainly a lot of volleyball blocks where he just goes up with both hands and just kind of goes like that, like a lot of volleyball blocks for him in summer league, and I hope it translates to the NBA because he plays for my team. But I don't think their frame is going to be as big of an issue as a lot of people make it out to be. There will be some instances where they may get bullied on the block a little bit. Like, you get somebody like LeBron who kind of drives, stops in the restricted area, like underneath the basket, and then you try to get like a body on him, and he'll just kind of bully you out of the way, go up, put it in. You get bigger guys like that, they'll be able to do that to guys like Chet and Victor. But again, these guys have such long arms though, that like, even if you knock them out of the way a little bit, even if they're a step back, if they time their jump right, they can still get their arms out and deter it a little bit. So I don't think you're gonna see too much of an issue with them just getting like fully like being bullied around the restricted area and stuff, because there just aren't a lot of people who play that kind of a game at this point, at least not consistently. Like, will it happen? Like I said, on like a play here and a play there. Yes. It happens to Rudy Gobert on a play or two every single game. Like, the NBA players are strong, breaking news. Like, they're strong, and they understand what they're doing around the rim and stuff. So it's just going to happen, but I don't think it's going to be like, oh man, you're just going to be able to take advantage of this guy every single time down the court, because nobody plays that way anymore. There's two guys who play that way, and look, if they're gonna do that every time, sure, then they'll win those games, but otherwise nobody really plays that way.
But when you look at those two players, you look at the two players that account for the last three NBA MVP, regular season.
Yeah, so they're doing MVP. It to everybody.
So that means that this is what a lot of these teams are going to want to want, because those are the standard bearers right now in the NBA. So I understand the, you know, the fan base that wants Victor to kind of put on some size, put on some weight. And this has been a topic of discussion with draft picks coming into the league since really it became more prominent after Kevin Durant. Because I felt like Kevin Durant looked like a stick figure when he got drafted from Texas. And over time, he put on weight. And that's naturally what a lot of these NBA players are going to do due to the regimen. They have never dealt with an NBA regimen before this. And I think by naturally just getting a part of that, making that part of your daily routine, it's going to put some weight on Victor. He's going to be more in the post. So that's why, you know, you use summer league, you use training camp, you use practice to kind of work on your post moves, because when you are that guy, that size, 7'5", if he can find some of the skills that Joel Embiid, that Nikola Jokic has, he's going to be the most unstoppable player in the league. If you have the post moves, if you could already do the style of play that he's already doing, he's going to be the most unstoppable player in the league. And for Chet Holmgren, he's going to be an all-star. He's going to be a potential superstar in this league if he puts on the weight, if he can work on his post moves. So I think that, yeah, it is kind of a lost art, like you said, because there's only two guys that kind of make it a routine and are very successful with it. But more people need to, when that is the two guys that is making it work, then, okay, we need to find more guys who can make that work as well.
It's not so much when it comes to Embiid and Jokic, though, that they bully people in the post. I mean, they do. Embiid, certainly. But, like, Jokic is a lot of just, like, footwork and stuff. You don't see Jokic, like, fully. He'll post up. He'll back smaller guys down and whatnot, but it's not like Shaq, where he's just completely bullying a guy all the way back to the basket and then getting an easy dunk. Like, Jokic will get into his spot, give him a little shove, head fake and stuff, but then it's just all footwork. It's like, oh, going this way, going that way, like a little dream shake type of move, or obviously like the passing and stuff. And Embiid's a little bit more of a bully in the post, but again, it's footwork stuff. And when you're somebody like Chet or somebody like Wemby, like, the footwork is what's going to matter. And you're so tall as well, especially Wemby. Like, the footwork is going to matter. And then just being able to shoot over guys. Like, so take Kevin Durant, for example. Is he, not a guy who bullies people in the post, but he loves his high post touch, loves it. I watched enough OKC. I think everybody's seen enough tape on Kevin Durant to know he wants the ball in his spot, near basically the free throw line on the side. Like, he just wants his touches there. More power to him. And what he does is he doesn't back anybody down into the paint or whatever. He'll give him a couple of shoulders to the body and stuff, but then it's just, let me shoot the fade, because I'm Kevin Durant and I'm taller than you and you're not going to be able to block this shot. Dirk, same way. And that's what, like, Chet and Wemby just need more than, like, hey, let me bully this guy down into the block and then just dunk on him easily. And, like, they'll be able to do that.
But the reason that worked for Dirk and Kevin Durant is because they did have excellent post moves. Kevin Durant can you know, he can, you know, go front face and go triple threat and get any way to the basket that he wants or get any shot that he wants. He can do a fadeaway. He could do, you know, the pump fake dream shake, like you said. He could do all that stuff. Same with Dirk Nowitzki. He does a couple of pump fakes. You're in the air and he's at the basket, or he's shooting a fadeaway, or he's shooting a three right over your head. So, like, I think both of those guys, they have great post moves. And I think that the fan base that is wanting, you know, Chet and Victor to put on weight and work on their post moves want more post players like that, because the Dirks are out of this league. Kevin Durant is on his last legs. We need more guys like that, that work like that.
I'm fine with post moves. That I'm completely fine with that. I don't need these guys. I just don't think, like, putting on a bunch of size and everything and, hey, be a back to the basket bully player. This is what I hated, absolutely hated about, I think it was Skip. I apologize if it was one other of those, like, talking heads. Maybe it was Stephen A. Like,
yeah.
one of one of these ESPN, Fox Sports 1, talking heads, whatever, are like, Jokic, he just doesn't dominate in the post like Shaq. Just doesn't dominate like that. And basically what they're saying is Jokic does not just bully people down in the post. He does not just put his back to the basket and just bully a guy all the way into the front row for an easy dunk. Because that's what Shaq did. But what Jokic does do is he gets the ball where he likes it, has excellent footwork, maybe the best footwork in the league, has excellent fakes, and then he scores. He scores with either a little hook shot, he scores with a little up and under, or a little, you know, fade, whatever it is. But he scores, and somebody posted the stat of, like, do you know the most efficient play in basketball? It's a Jokic post-up. Because every time he gets the ball in that spot, he scores or creates for others. To me, if it's the most efficient play, it seems like he's dominating from that spot. But we have this definition of dominating because of Shaq that it's like, oh, you just got to completely overpower and dunk on your opponent. And that's, Money Mark says it with Stephen A. And that's not what it is. So I don't need these guys to put on a bunch of size so they could just completely shove the guy into the rafters. I just need them to have good footwork and to just create, have a move or two underneath the post that they can, you know, get to their spots and hit their shot. Like, that's what I need from, I don't care about Wimby. He's not on my team. That's what I want from Chet, though. And Chet was showing that
Wimby,
a little bit in Summer
Wimby.
League. Chet was showing that in Summer League last year. He had the Dirk fade. He had that Dirk fade once. I was like, ooh, it's over for the league. And then he broke his foot.
I think for most of, like, that generation, as far as, like, Stephen A. and Skip, like, we were in, me and you, like, our age, were in our teenage years during Shaq's era of dominance. And they were in, like, their 30-year-old years, like what we're in now. So when we see amazing players like Nikola Jokic, like a Giannis, like a LeBron, like a Stephen Curry, we're going to be, like, we're going to view it a lot differently than we saw those players when we were in their teenage years. When we get older, when we're 50 years old, we're going to be like, oh, that Giannis, man, that Giannis, man, you should have saw him. You should have been there. You should have been there for him. But I think for them, that's how they look at Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal was like this just dominant player. They had seen nothing like it since Wilt Chamberlain, and they want more players like that. So I think that's why the Stephen A's of the world, the Skips of the world, they really glorify someone like a Joel Embiid over a Nikola Jokic, because it ain't pretty. It ain't about the footwork sometimes with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid can make it look pretty, can do a fadeaway. He could do a hook shot. But most of the time, he's gonna back you down. He's gonna be flapping and falling before he even gets to the conference finals. So that is what he does on that end. And then you see what Nikola Jokic did this past season and winning the NBA championship. So I think that's why they mainly do that. And I know what you're looking for as far as Chet. And like Money Mark said, Chet added 13 pounds. So like I said, it's naturally going to happen. When you're in that NBA regimen, you're going to add on the pounds. And it's about the footwork. It's about the post moves. It's about what you can add to your game to make you a complete player.
I don't care if he powers people down in the post. Again, there aren't many guys who do that. That's not just how the league is anymore. And just guys aren't traces. And no one's built like Shaq nowadays. Yeah, you're not going to add enough weight and strength and stuff to be able to play like Shaq when your frame is that. Yes, you can add muscle, you can add weight and everything. Your frame will naturally just, you'll grow into it a little bit more, but like Shaq was just, he was literally built different, and guys just aren't built like Shaq anymore. And guys who are kind of bigger like that, like, they don't even have like much of a spot in the league anymore, just because nobody plays that style. Like DeAndre Jordan was built like that, right? And of course the Dallas Mavericks wanted to, you know, turn their entire offense into DeAndre Jordan before the Clippers kidnapped him and kept him in Los Angeles. But, you know, DeAndre Jordan, this was literally the Mavericks when they tried to sign DeAndre. They're like, we're going to build our offense around you. We're going to turn you into Shaq. And the Clippers are like, no. Like, DeAndre Jordan was built like that, but it's just not, guys just aren't Shaq. We got to let go of this idea that literally anybody is Shaq. Even guys who are built like Shaq, they ain't Shaq. okay, Lewis says Zion is 6'6", Shaq. Yeah, if Zion could stay healthy, that would be great. But I don't even think they want Zion kind of doing that, because Zion is such just an explosive type player that, like, him driving and doing things like that is more of what they want. Can he bully people? Yes, but then Zion, like, his size becomes an issue. Like, I understand he is like thick on the frame and stuff, but like, Zion ain't really backing down like a Rudy Gobert or something.
Yeah.
And I'm not even high on Rudy Gobert, but Gobert's just taller. Get his arms up. He can make shots very difficult for him. Anthony Davis is very athletic, can be Shaq-esque, certainly his prime. Now injuries have kind of ruined him, but like,
you should have saw him in the playoffs, 30-23. That's Shaq numbers. That's Shaq. I don't think we ever saw a Laker player do that in the playoffs since Shaq.
I saw him get roasted by Nikola Jokic in the playoffs. Is that the playoffs we're referring to? Is that what we're talking about? I'm just asking a question, SB3.
Why has your team won a championship lately?
My pick, the Denver Nuggets.
Your pick, yeah. Changing words. There you go.
The team that I supported all season won a championship. Yes. Yeah.
The team with bandwagon I jumped on.
That was not a bandwagon jumping. That was I'm supporting my pick of winning the NBA finals. We just got to let go of this idea that like anybody is Shaq. All right. That's what we got to do. We just got to let go of this. And look, Shaq is great. Shaq in NBA 2K. I love using him because he will just dominate everybody and it rules. But like, we just got to let go of this idea that like anybody's going to play like Shaq nowadays. 10 years from now, when we're doing this show on ESPN, you know, we're going to be on there. There's going to be some guard that comes into the league. Like, why doesn't he shoot like Steph Curry? Why doesn't he play like Steph Curry? That's what I need out of this guard. Well, kindergartner. This man's in kindergarten right now. And we're going to be like, he should be like Steph Curry. It's like, we just got to let go of the idea. Like, Steph Curry is one of one. There's a reason. We do it nowadays with even like Trae Young. They were like, Trae Young, why isn't he more like Steph Curry? Like, should Trae Young develop some habits that Steph Curry has? Yes. Should he move off the ball more to try to create more looks for himself and everything? Yes, he should. We just got to let go of some of these comparison ideas, and we just got to realize some of these guys just are who they are, and we've got to just hope that they, especially if they're on our team, hope that they improve certain things. And for Chet, and look, if I was a Hawks fan, I would certainly be like, why doesn't Trae Young move off the ball more and create more shots for himself like Steph Curry does? I would be yelling at this man all the time. For Chet, I don't need him to be like Shaq. I would like him to continue to work on some footwork, work on the fadeaways. I'm good if he's like, if he's just kind of like Dirk-esque, a little Jokic passing wise and everything, because OKC runs a lot of motion offense and we got good players, but like that's what I need out of Chet. And just, you know, be able to hit threes, because Josh Giddey is going to get him a lot of great looks. Josh Giddey is Jokic, by the way. That's shorter Jokic. Jokic is just a tall Josh Giddey. That's all it is. With worse hair. Much worse hair.
What are we even talking about anymore?
Much worse hair.
Let's talk about Dame Lillard and...
Why? Why? Because
it's happening, y'all. I said it last week. I put it out into the universe that Dame Lillard was going to request a trade. I put it out into the universe our last episode. I gave y'all the fake Woj tweet, and it came to fruition. I couldn't believe it. I am Negro Domus once again. We got Dame Lillard possibly wanting to be traded to the Miami Heat. We got James Harden, who has opted to his last year of his player option, and he wants to be traded. He's requested a trade from the Philadelphia 76ers. So, Jeremy Lambert, where do you see Dame Lillard going? Where do you see James Harden going?
Dame's going to Miami because he's told everybody, his agent has told everybody, don't trade me here. I'm only going to... This is the most bitch-made move I've ever seen, by the way. What?
Nope.
Why not?
It's the smartest thing I've seen.
It's bitch made.
Bitch made, smart. Same difference, I guess.
No, absolutely not.
Just, just marvelous. Marvelous.
No, they're spelled differently. They have different meanings. They are completely two different terms, SP3. Bitch made does not mean smart. Bitch made means you're being a little bitch.
He's not being a bitch. He knows where he wants to go. He did his His Corey and Topanga. When Corey decided between Topanga and Lauren, he put marbles in the scale and made sure and one side to the other. And it was like Miami, Philadelphia, and Topanga won. And Topanga is Miami Heat.
This is complete bitch assness in the word of Diddy. Bitch assness. From Damian Lillard. You signed a deal. You signed a 4 or 5 year contract, whatever it was, with Portland. You didn't put a no trade clause in there like Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal could pick his destination, could pick his return, which I think was stupid. Washington was stupid for giving him this, by the way. He could pick all this. Dame signed a contract. You have your agent telling teams, like, hey, if he shows up here, he's not going to be unhappy. That's bitch made. You signed the contract. Go play there to whatever team trades you. Clearly the team that trades you wants you there. If you want to play in Miami, sign with them as a free agent. This is just players holding power over everything. And I'm all for player empowerment, by the way. Good.
Player empowerment.
These players should get paid more. They should get more. I mean, they have a good revenue split, especially compared to other leagues. But like they are the ones who drive the league. Without the players, there is no league, right? So I get that. But you got to understand that like Portland has the contract situation here. They should trade you wherever they see fit. But now you're holding up other franchises who might want to trade you, who might be like, you know what? Damian Lillard on our team, that makes us really good. That sells us tickets. That sells tickets to our fan base. We could compete with Damian Lillard. But wait, he's not going to come here? He's going to hold out? I don't think Dame's actually holding out at all if he gets traded to another team. I think somebody should call his bluff. And I understand why they don't call his bluff, because they don't want to have to deal with that. But some team should call his bluff. Like, you're just going to sit out for 3 years? You're just going to waste basically the last 3 years of your career, because he's 33. Like, he ain't going to be that good at 36, not having played basketball for 3 years. So they should call his bluff on this. If I'm another team, like, sure, this is what you're going to do. We'll see if that's what you're going to do. Cause I don't think he actually does. I think he goes out there and think he plays. It's so lame that he's doing this. So, so lame. Yeah. Anthony Davis did this. Here's the difference between which I didn't like that Anthony Davis did it, because that was a clearly designed move to get him to the Lakers and stuff. At least the Lakers had a trade package to offer the Pelicans. There was nothing wrong. You got a young Lonzo Ball. You got a young Brandon Ingram. Who else is that? Kyle Kuzma? No, Kuzma wasn't in that deal.
Pelicans got handsomely rewarded for Anthony Davis.
Hart was in that deal. They got first round picks out of that. That wasn't a bad trade package. Could another team have beaten it? Yeah, probably. Another team probably could have beaten that. But at least you got a young player like Brandon Ingram, a young player like Lonzo Ball. Like, you got some good young pieces out of that. Miami's given up Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero is a nice 20-point scorer, which I understand is valuable in the league, who plays no defense, whose team just went to the NBA Finals without him. How important is this man? And he plays in a position where you already have Anfernee Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, and now Scoot Henderson. You've already got enough guards. You don't need another guard if you're Portland. And that's why they don't want to do this deal. That's why they don't want to do this deal, because they're like, we have no use for Tyler Hero. None. That's why they're trying to trade Tyler Hero to another team to make this a three-team deal. Guess what? Other teams don't want Tyler Hero either, because they're like, we're going to pay $40 million for a guy who gives you like 20 points, plays no defense, and needs a bunch of shots. No, nobody wants to do that. Absolutely nobody wants to. But it's lame.
The Washington Wizards.
Wizards might. But it's lame because this is what Lillard has decided. This is the only team he wants to go to. You're telling me if OKC made an offer of, and they would never do this, if they made an offer of Jalen Williams, a gaggle of first-round picks, and Lu Dort, that Dame would be like, wait, Shea, me, Giddy, Chet, this is a nice team here. Nope, not going to do it. Only want to go to Miami. That's it. That's super, super lame on his.
Shea plays the same position as him, so can't make that work. Can't make
Shea
that
can play
work.
The two. Shea can play the two.
I don't think Dude, it's Dame's being up. I don't think it's going to work. But, hey, Dame Bitchness. Wants to be in LA. I wish he wanted to be in Miami. He wants to be in Miami. He wants to be with the Eastern Conference champions, which would instantly make them the favorite in the East, arguably make them the favorite for the NBA championship next year. And I said this on the last episode. I'll say it again. Dame Lillard is the missing element, the missing piece for the Miami Heat. You got Coach Spo, you got Pat Riley, their front office, their management, they're on stack, they're coaching, elite. They just needed a scorer on the court. They needed a scorer and a point guard, and Dame Lillard checks both boxes.
He does. Look, I love Dame in Miami. That's a great fit for them. Absolutely. They should want Damian Lillard on their team. And I look forward to watching Damian Lillard on that team when he is inevitably traded to Miami, because he will get traded to Miami. That's just how these things end. This is the difference between me and you, though, SP3, is you're a Lakers fan and you're used to everything just being handed to you. All these players who want to go to the Lakers. Oh, LeBron wants to come here. The Lakers have been incompetent for years, but LeBron just decides like, oh yeah, I'm going to come to LA. Anthony Davis wants to force his way to LA. The Lakers just get all of this stuff handed to them because they're the Los Angeles Lakers and they're a big market team. And so you understand Miami's position of like, hey, yeah, star wants to come here. I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. This is great because that's what you're used to as well. I'm in a different position where nobody wants to play for the team. And Portland, by the way,
that's your fault. Management.
Here's what I'm saying. And here's what I'm saying. Portland, by the way, screwed up way more than OKC ever did. You're telling me OKC didn't build a good team around Kevin Durant, wasn't trying to make good moves for Kevin Durant and everything? Absolutely not. I'm in the position of a small market team where it's like my team's never been able to get like these star players who request to come here. OKC had to take a risk to get Paul George because Paul George, much like Damian Lillard, was like, I only want to play in LA. I want to leave Indiana and I only want to play in LA. And then OKC was like, you know what? 1 year left on his deal. We got to do something to help out Russell Westbrook. Again, very kind to their franchise player, Russell Westbrook. We're going to do it. We're going to trade Oladipo and Sabonis and we're going to get Paul George for 1 year. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't work, you know what? We scared money don't make none, in the words of Wu-Tang Clan and the great Sam Presti. Scared money don't make none. They took the risk on Paul George. Paul George re-signed with the team. They sold him enough to where he re-signed with the team. He asked out a year later. Yeah, I get that. At least he had the decency to ask out a year later. And then he went to a team where we knew he wanted to go to the Clippers, but they still got a great return package. If they got the Clippers package without Shea, let's say they didn't get Shea in this return package. That package sucked.
He didn't go to y'all and say, oh, I want to leave a year later. He went in the middle of the night, like a cat
burglar.
A year
later, though.
A cat burglar. Like a cat burglar. A year to the night, a year later, after he signed, read up with y'all for multiple years, a year later, he was like a cat burglar. It was like, I'm going to L.A. Let me just
at least he wanted to go to a team that had some assets to trade. So we got Shea and a gaggle of picks. That's fine.
So it's a Rich Ray move because Miami doesn't have the assets.
Yes, the assets is a big issue with this. If Miami could...
It could be bad for Portland and not be a bitch-ass move.
If Miami gave up Bam, I'm fine with this. They ain't giving up Bam.
No, you got to keep the big three together. It's all about the big three.
No, but this is why it's also a bad move because they're not giving up anything. They're giving up Tyler Hero. If they gave
draft picks,
these draft picks aren't going to be good. If Miami gave up Bam in the deal, it's a fine move. The actual return package matters on this. The return package does matter. On it. That's why I said, like, Anthony Davis, I didn't like that he got to pick LA, either. I thought that was a bitch move, but at least the return package wasn't terrible. If LA had just given up Lonzo, they got to keep Ingram. They just gave up Lonzo, Josh Hart, and picks. I'm like, nah, this package sucks. This is terrible. You're telling me somebody could beat this? But they had to give up both of them. And I understand, no, Trey's saying, why would you trade Bam? You wouldn't, especially if you don't have to. And Miami doesn't have to, because Dame has forced his way into Miami. Miami would 100% have to throw in Bam if another team came in there and actually stepped up and was going to trade for him, but they won't, because they're also scared, because they're scared of, we don't want an unhappy Damian Lillard here. So Miami would have to trade Bam. I'm trying to think of another team.
The only teams that can probably give a better package is if Boston is ready to move on from Jaylen Brown.
Yes.
And they can include Jaylen Brown in the trade.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Philadelphia 76ers can give them anything, even if you throw in a Tyrese Maxey, I wouldn't say that's kind of levels above a Tyler Hero trade.
Yes, he is.
With Miami. I wouldn't say
that. Maxey is way better than Tyler Hero. Way better. On a cheaper, cost-controlled contract.
But Philadelphia doesn't even want to trade Maxey.
They don't.
Yeah.
I'm saying the package would be better, though. Maxey is way better than Tyler Hero. Yeah, Jaylen Brown, are you kidding me? If Boston was like, hey,
we're
going to give you Jaylen Brown, then yeah, Miami would have to be like, all right, we got to throw in Bam. And if you're Miami, you don't want to trade Bam, fine. I understand that. If you only are trying to trade Hero, fine. I get that. But yeah, so Trey is saying, I would see a three-team trade to get Dame to Miami if Portland doesn't want Hero. That's what they're working on. Here is the secret that's not really a secret. Nobody wants Tyler Hero. Nobody. No team actually wants Tyler Hero. Because Tyler Hero, he made a face. He went like that 3 years ago in a bubble game in the finals, where Jimmy Butler, by the way, had a triple-double, a 40-point triple-double. But all people remember about this game is Tyler Hero went. And people are like, oh, man, that's Jordan. That's Kobe. That's the next Jordan and Kobe. Right, people were saying that after that bubble game because he did a snarl. It looked like Powerhouse Hobbs, mute myself, with his little snarl. And people were like, Tyler Hero, he's great. What has Tyler Hero done actually on the court? On the court since that game. He's had some nice scoring seasons where he does nothing else. He don't play any defense. He doesn't get others involved. He doesn't make guys around him better. And it's a position that they already have. They already have plenty of guards. They do not need another guard. It's a terrible trade package, but Miami can just give him they can give them that trade package because that's where he wants to go. No other team is going to compete with the trade package.
You literally said that Tyler Hero is the equivalent of Bradley Beal as far as production before. When I talked about Bradley Beal potentially going to Miami in a Hero trade there. But now we're saying that Hero's not good enough for Miami. I mean, for Portland. And I understand they have a bunch of guards, but hey, just make it a three-team trade, get another team in there. Washington's selling. Who else is selling that would just grab him up? Just to have him and then buy him.
Nobody,
buy
clearly,
out.
Because nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing Washington, it. Somebody
Washington,
step up and do it.
Washington said our yard sale is over, folks. We're done. We're done here. We done traded Porzingis, traded Bradley Beal. We're done with the yard sale, so we're not gonna get involved here. Brooklyn is a good one from Money Mart.
Hey, what's Brooklyn? Ben Simmons? Nobody wants Ben Simmons either.
That is true. I think the Hornets are gonna start selling like that.
The Hornets ain't got nobody to offer either. No, see, none of these teams have anything good to offer for this, and everybody's trying to lowball everybody, and they're doing it because Dame is trying to force his way into one team. So teams know it's like, well, you have to trade Tyler Hero. If you're Portland, well, you got to trade Tyler Hero. You don't actually want him. So, yeah, I will lowball you on this Tyler Hero deal. I'll just give you a bunch of seconds. And so then, if you're Portland, what do you end up with? in a Damian Lillard trade. Max Vincent, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, whatever, whichever guy they're getting out of this. Nikola Jovic, who might be good. I don't know.
Hey, he's going to be good, y'all. First. Look at that name. Look at that name.
Some terrible first. Some terrible first over the next couple years. And Tyler Hero. And then you flip Tyler Hero for what? Some seconds? Maybe a first? Who knows what else? The value isn't there. I'm probably being mean to Tyler Hero. A lot of people in the chat defending Tyler Hero right now. Oh, Gabe and Max, what are they giving up then? What are they giving up? Kyle Lowry? Yeah,
Gabe is in LA. Gabe Vincent, which is part of the reason why the Los Angeles Lakers had the best free agency. That just came out of nowhere because we weren't even planning to get Gabe Vincent. It just fell into our laps.
I'm probably being mean. Yeah, Duncan Robinson. He couldn't even play. He only played because Tyler Hero got hurt. They were paying that man $20 million to sit on the bench all season.
Crazy. Crazy.
Look, I'm being mean to Tyler Hero.
You are.
I know. It's because I don't think – because there's just better package out of there, and I don't like that Damian Lillard is forcing his way into this where Tyler Hero is the best player. And I do think Miami's system has a little bit to do with why Tyler Hero – is as good as he's been playing. Because look what they did with guys like Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. I don't know how Gabe Vincent and Strus are going to be on other teams. I don't. We're going to find out with Gabe in LA. You're very high on this. I'm a little iffy of like, hey, he shot well in the playoffs, but otherwise during the regular season, he was like a non-factor. Is this going to happen? Is this going to happen?
That was the spark. That's going to lead to him being a more consistent player. I'm looking forward to what he can do on this team. He could potentially, if he starts playing very consistently, he could be the starter in the playoffs for us if we make it that far. Because, you know, re-signing D'Angelo Russell, he needed a strong backup, and I think Gabe Vincent fills that role very, very well. As far as, the other pickups, I think the only one that I have some disagreement with is Rui Hachimura. I feel like we overpaid for Rui Hachimura. But I think that balances us out because people were talking about $100 million. $100 million for Austin Reeves. 4 years, $56 million. Man, we had coupons. We had discount cards. We had gift cards when we went to free agency. We was like, we got a gift card on him. We need a him for a discount. And they were like, him. And Austin Reeves was right there for us to pick up 4 years, $56 million. That was a discount. And I'm so happy about that. And even the contract that we got D'Angelo Russell on, I thought that was a smart move. And I thought that we paid him his value after his performance in the playoffs. And then the other pickups, I felt like we took flyers really on Cam Reddish and Jackson Hayes, and they could be really good role players for us. And Torian Prince, I thought was a huge pickup early on in free agency. All in all, I think the Lakers have firmly positioned themselves in the two spot as far as the Western Conference. As far as Western Conference of right now, on July,
11th,
2023, we are the second best team in the Western Conference.
That's a very bold claim. Very bold claim. I like what LA did. They did make some nice role-playing moves. They got guys who theoretically work well with LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's obviously still going to come down to just a lot of health of LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, that's what it's going to be for them. If Davis is hurt, they're not the same team. If LeBron is hurt, they're not the same team. So, but they got guys who fill nice roles around them. Nothing wrong with it. Some of them might be a little risky. Like Gabe Vincent, people seem to like him. And how much they put a lot of stock into that playoff performance. And if that playoff performance, holds, then hey, that's a nice pickup. If he kind of is who we showed sort of more in the regular season, then that could be a little bit of a risky move. Is it an upgrade over Schroeder? Like that's the big question.
That's there. The difference.
Like,
yeah.
Like, is it an upgrade over Schroeder? We shall see. I think Schroeder could be, his shooting was what it was, but like he was going to attack the basket. He was going to put pressure on the rim, and he was feisty on defense. Was he the best defender? I don't know. But he was at least feisty and could compete. Gabe Vincent, I think his reputation as a defender a little overblown from the playoffs, especially as a one-on-one defender. As a team defender, like he fit into the team defense, fine. The team defense is obviously going to be a little bit different in LA, so they just play a different style. It's a fine pickup for LA. And I like the Cam Reddish. I'm always willing to take a flyer on a guy like that. Same with Jackson Hayes until he starts just like jacking up shots and stuff. Yeah, the contracts are nice. Like at the trade deadline, they can move them. They gave themselves some good flexibility with stuff. It was a good offseason for the Los Angeles Lakers. Are they the two? Maybe. I mean, the Nuggets are still there. They lost Bruce Brown.
The Nuggets are the ones. Yeah, but the Nuggets took a step back. Yeah, they lost Bruce Brown. They lost Jeff Green. Nuggets had a bad free agency, honestly.
I mean, they didn't really gain anyone. They got some – you're hoping for internal development from a guy like Christian Brown when it comes to kind of almost stepping up and replacing Bruce Brown in a bigger role. There, they still got their core guys, and so that those core guys are championship core. So that's obviously a big deal. Maybe the Nuggets are done. Maybe they're not. We'll see if they decide to trade anybody else. The Kings are a team that, you know, they were a 3 seed last year. They kind of kept their entire team together, and that's, again, you're hoping for just internal improvement and everything. The Grizzlies are an odd team because I got the
Kings at either 4 or 5.
Okay, the Grizzlies are
Phoenix at 3.
Okay, Phoenix is obviously going to be good defensively. We'll see how it all looks on paper, but they certainly got the firepower. I kind of liked what Phoenix did in the offseason. They got, again, just nice role players who fill needs for that team because they got their team in order with their top four. And we'll see if a DeAndre Ayton trade materializes at some point during the season as well. So Phoenix is in a good position. Memphis, they're not going to have Ja, but I do like the Marcus Smart pickup for them. They've proven to be a good regular season team. Playoffs, like after that, you never know. But they've proven to be a good regular season team. They're clearly well coached. They grind out games. They play good team basketball. Their offense does absolutely nothing, and I don't think their offense is going to get any better, especially for the games Ja is going to miss. But look, I think their defense is going to just give teams in the regular season an absolute nightmare, and I think they'll win a lot of games that way. I still believe in what the Warriors did. I like the Chris Paul trade. They added Dario Saric. They just added smart players. They just added smart basketball players, and that's how they won the title 2 years ago, is they just got veteran guys with high basketball IQs, and that's what they have now. They're still going to need Klay to be good. He was not good in the playoffs. They're going to need Draymond to, you know, he still runs that defense, and Steph will, I assume, be Steph, unless Steph, for some reason, takes a step back. Houston is saying Houston should make the playoffs if Dylan Brooks doesn't screw up. That's a bold thing because, like, that's still a young team. Go ahead.
I think people need to kind of temper their expectations with these young teams. Like, I made a bold take and a bold prediction at the beginning of last season and said Oklahoma City Thunder were going to be in a play-in. And I wound up being right, but I think that was my boldest of predictions outside of laughing at the Nuggets winning the NBA championship. I think that was the boldest. But second boldest was saying OKC in the play-in, but that was only because my belief in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, in my belief in the young players and the what they're kind of developing as far as a culture in Oklahoma City right now. But it's very rare for these young teams to even get into that position. Houston is still 1 or 2 years away from even being in a play-in or a permanent play-in position where I feel confident making that prediction. So I think people need to temper their expectations as far as Houston. But I agree with most of what you said. I think Golden State Warriors have eased back on my criticism of the Chris Paul move. Does the Chris Paul move improve Golden State Warriors? Still, I'm at a no. But You re-signed Draymond Green. You got a lot of the still the core players on your team. You have a bunch of shooters on that team as well to work around Chris Paul and Steph Curry. It's all going to be about, can Chris Paul accept the backup position and work with the second unit in the way that he can, and that can make the team overall better for Golden State Warriors. So that's why I have the Warriors at probably fifth, only because I'm not as confident in the Chris Paul pickup. I think it's Sacramento, then Golden State right now for the Western Conference.
Okay. To go to Houston again, like, they got a lot of good young players. And then they added Dylan Brooks. They added Fred VanVleet. You know, does this stunt the growth of the young players? Do the young players now get less opportunity because of these guys? Do VanVleet and Dylan Brooks come in? It's like, we want to win, we want to compete, but the young guys just ain't there yet. That team was a mess last year. And now they got Ime, who is obviously a very good coach. He coached the Celtics to the finals. He was a very good coach and everything. But then you also have to look at, okay, who are they jumping as well? Because that team was almost the worst team in the West last season. So to go into the playoffs, you got to jump teams at that. Are they better than Minnesota? Are they better than Oklahoma City? Are they better than New Orleans?
Like, yeah.
Do Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, and Ime, like, make that big of a difference where they got to jump these teams as well? It's not just like, oh, hey, they look better, but yeah, they do, but now are they better than these teams as well? It's going to – I'm not willing to think that Houston is like, oh, yeah, this is a team that is now going to be a playoff team because of these moves. I think Fred VanVleet's good. And Dylan Brooks is who he is. I do wonder how much it might hurt the young guys of just not getting as many opportunities, and they're trying to balance of just like having competitive veterans and who will push these young guys and everything, but who also just may want to compete, and then actually getting growth out of these young guys. Look at all the first round picks they've just traded over the last couple of seasons. OKC just acquired two of them in a throwaway deal. Like, guys who were drafted in the first round by Houston like 2 years ago, they just traded them this offseason because, like, well, now we don't have like sort of the roster space for them because we needed to sign VanVleet and Dylan Brooks and stuff. And yeah, like, that's a good core, Louis says. Like, I agree. Like, that's probably who you should be kind of trying to figure out and stuff. But then you just gave Dylan Brooks a 4-year, $80 million contract. So he's going to be part of that somewhere in there. Like, I'm not as fully sold on Houston, though I do like a lot of their young players and everything. The Clippers are still in the mix. And the Clippers might add James Harden, which I don't know who they're giving up to get James Harden. This is another thing of like, they're just trying to give up Norman Powell and Marcus Morris and to get James Harden.
That's why they're not going to get that deal done. If I'm the Sixers,
Hold on, you better include Kawhi
or PG in that trade.
Okay, I agree, but what's the difference between what Harden's doing, wanting to go to the Clippers and forcing his way there and getting a bad return package, and what Dame is doing that you support? What's the difference? Please tell me.
The difference in what our criticisms is I am talking about from the Sixers' point of view. I am not calling his move a bitch-ass move. I'm not saying that it's a cowardly move or a wrong move for him. I am saying from the Sixers' point of view, you gotta want Kawhi Leonard or Paul George in that deal. Like, there is no third player. The third player is Russell Westbrook, who 3-4 years ago, people would have thought if he's in the position of a free agent this season, he's getting more than $15 million. This man signed a 2-year, $7.8 million contract, ladies and gentlemen. This ain't the guy who was averaging a triple-double and being the MVP and making $100 million on his last deal. $100 million plus. I think I'm being on the safe side, so, you know, $100 million. But it was more than $100 million. He was making like $35-40 million a year. So that's the third best guy. That's the third best guy. That's basically like trading a broken.
You've just
down
turned this
Honda
into Westbrook slander. I don't know. We're not talking about Russell Westbrook. What are we doing talking about Russell
Westbrook? That's the third best guy on there. The Miami Heat are offering Portland their third best guy, Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero is a lot better of a return than Russell Westbrook.
I agree, but there's no difference in what Portland's doing or what Dame is doing, trying to force his way to Portland for, or trying to force his way to Miami for a bad package that Portland clearly does not want, and what Harden's doing, seemingly trying to force his way to the Clippers for a bad package that Philadelphia rightfully does not want. There's no difference. You're defending one. You're defending one because you are. You're like, yeah, Portland, what are you doing? Go ahead and make this move. You're getting Tyler Hero. Just be happy with that. They don't want Tyler Hero. They don't want him. So why should they be forced to do it? Just because Dame says it? You're like, oh, you got to make this move. But then on the Sixers side, you're like, no, the Sixers shouldn't make this move. When if they don't get Kawhi or PG, why would they ever make this move? Why should Portland make this move when they don't want Tyler Hero and they want Bam? Why? Show's over, everybody. SP3's got nothing to say.
No, I'm gonna let you finish. I know you're not right. You're not right.
Please tell me.
I was defending. I was defending the Dame Lillard trade because you said it was a bitch ass move. I gave you the perspective from Dame Lillard. You are going to a championship situation in Miami, which is a beautiful place to live.
Give me the perspective for James Harden then. Yeah, he should want to go to LA and not give up Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So
because if he goes to LA, he's not in a championship position. He's not even in a better position than what he was with the Philadelphia 76ers. Let alone, he's not even in a better position than what he was with the Brooklyn freaking Nets. You go ask
him. He's in a good position. So where do you want him to go? So should everybody just go to one team? Everybody should go to the Lakers or the Warriors? No.
I wanted James Harden to go to Houston. I wanted him to opt out and sign.
Why is that in a championship position there?
No, I didn't think he was going for a championship position.
SP3, we don't worry about championship positions because Dame makes Miami much better. Obviously, James Harden's going to make the Clippers better. You put him with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard again. Health?
Who not there? They're not going to be there.
Okay, it's hell. I get that.
Why are we acting like that? Why are we acting like we Martin and Cole and we like, yeah, Tommy going to be at work. I'm going to go pick him up. He's not going to be there.
It's still a good team. And Russell Westbrook will be there. He shows up. Like, it's still a good team. Of course you would want to go. Let's look at just what the trade return and the demands on this.
So it's the same thing. What's the trade? Because you're not going to trade Russell Westbrook. You're not going to trade Kawhi Leonard. You're not going
to give up.
You're not trading your top three players. So what I know. Are we doing?
What are we doing is if I'm the Clippers, I'm like, yeah, I only got to give up Norman Powell, maybe Bones Highland, Marcus Morris, some draft picks. Yeah, why wouldn't I do that? Just like Miami. If I'm like, wait, I only got to give up Tyler Hero, who we just went to the finals with without him. I only got to give up him and some other role players and draft pick. Yeah, of course. If I'm Miami and I'm the Clippers, of course I love these deals. Of course I do. But if I'm Portland and the Sixers, I'm looking at like, no, I don't want Tyler Hero. I don't want
I am sorry.
It's the same situation.
The Miami Heat deal is so much better than that Clippers one.
Yes, I agree. I agree the Miami Heat deal is better. I fully agree with that. Getting Tyler Hero is the best player out of all this. But look at it from Portland's perspective. They don't want him. So they should not be forced to do it. But they are forced to do it because Dame is like, this is the only place I want to go. So you got to accept what they give you. That's it. Same with James Harden. This is the only place I want
to
go.
Has James Harden said he only wants to go to the Clippers?
More or less, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So defend it. You're defending this Dame deal. It's the same situation. These players are picking where they want to go, and they want these teams to give up minimum value when if it was a bidding war, certainly for Damian Lillard. James Harden, I don't know at this point. But if it was a bidding war, these teams that are trading them could actually get potentially equal value for them. Potentially. I don't know if you're ever going to get equal value for guys like this. But
James Harden.
Potentially get equal value.
James Harden, you are not going into a championship situation if you go to the Los Angeles Clippers.
Championships? What are we talking about? Championship situation? There's only like two places that guarantee you a championship situation.
James Harden, you are going into what will be, I'm trying to count, 1, 2, 3. This would be your third failed duo trio of your career. You had a trio in OKC with Russ Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Failed.
If Miami went to Philadelphia and said, we'll give you the Dame package. We'll give you Hero, Jovic, Lowry, first round picks. You give us Harden. What does Philadelphia say to that?
Philadelphia say yes. Yeah. Sure. Let's do it.
You're lying. You are lying. There's no way they would take that deal. No. They get much better compensation. It's better than the Clippers package.
They can get much better compensation than that for James Harden?
Could they get Zach LaVine for James Harden? Can they? Chicago would be willing to trade Zach LaVine for James Harden if it was more
than they should be calling them for that.
But it's not, because he gets to pick where he wants to go. He only wants to go to the Clippers. It's not the best package. This is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not the best trade package out there. The Clippers trade package sucks, by the way. I think it's awful.
It makes the Tyler Hero deal seem that much more feasible.
But that doesn't make the Tyler Hero trade package seem good either.
Yeah, it does. It actually does. That Clippers deal is so bad that it does.
It does make it seem good. That doesn't make it good, though. It doesn't make it good.
It is good by comparison.
It's not. Then please tell me why all these teams aren't lining up to get Tyler Hero. Please tell me. Would you trade Austin Reeves for Tyler Hero?
No, we're not talking about the Lakers right now.
You're out here just slandering Russell Westbrook for no reason.
What are you talking about? What are we talking about? I was talking about Russell Westbrook's team and talking about the fact that he's the third best player on the team.
You were talking about him. You were talking about him.
I was talking about the fact that he's the third best player on the team. The comparison of that trade from Miami to Portland with Tyler Hero, who's the third best player on the Miami Heat, getting traded for Damian Lillard. That's all.
Both trade packages suck, and both teams know they can offer these terrible trade packages because the star players are like, these are the only places that I want to go. So the team that is making the offer, rightfully so, by the way, rightfully so. If I'm the Clippers, if I'm Miami, I don't give up good pieces if I don't have to, until I'm forced to. I don't need to. Just like Phoenix. Just like how Phoenix got Bradley Beal. Wait, we don't have to give up DeAndre Ayton? The best player we got to give up is Chris Paul, who we were going to cut anyway? Sure. Of course you would do these deals if you're these teams. I don't begrudge them at all for it. But we can all admit that these are not the best trade packages out there if it was an open bidding market. If it was an open bidding market, these are not the best trade packages out there. But these are the trade packages that these teams are going to have to accept because these players are just forcing their way to one destination. And they're being bitches about it, especially Dame, who has his agent telling teams he's going to be unhappy if he's here. He's going to be unhappy if you trade for him. This James Harden.
James
Harden's only a one-year deal.
I am judging these on the trade package. You are judging this on a general principle of these type of trades when the player is trying to control where they're sent. So I understand our difference of opinion right now of why you think I'm defending one trade and demoting another. No, because I'm saying one is an actual good trade package and one isn't. That's my simple argument.
If it was a good trade package, they would have accepted it. It's not a good trade package. It's not.
They want one it's not more for what Portland, that's it.
It's not for what Portland wants to do. It's not for what Portland wants to do because they don't need Tyler Hero. That's why they're trying to trade Tyler Hero and get – they need a big because Nurkic ain't holding up. at this point. They got Jeremy Grant. They've also got to try to figure out what they're doing with him because they just signed him to a big deal because Dame is like, oh, I want to compete. I want to play. I want Jeremy Grant back. So Jeremy Grant signs this big deal, and then Dame's like, never mind. They would have just let Jeremy Grant walk in that case, but instead they had to sign him to this deal because they're trying to make Dame happy, and then Dame is like, no. And by the way, they should have. By the way, I'm not defending Portland on any of this. Trey, you are a Miami fan, okay? You're a Miami fan. You. But I'm not defending Portland on any of this. They've handled this very poorly. They should have traded Dame. They should have traded Dame a couple years ago, if I'm being
honest. They should have made the choice. They shouldn't have never left it up to Dame.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. They should have traded him at the draft when they were clearly in a position to take Scoot. And then they're like, you know what? We're just going to – who cares where Dame wants to go? Anybody want him? We're going to trade him. And then it'll be somebody else's problem at that point. They should have just gone ahead and traded him. Or they should have done better when it came to just building the team around them because they didn't do a good job there. I fully agree with that, too. I'm not defending what Portland has actually done around Dame on this because I don't think they've done a good job. If they really wanted to build around Dame, they should have traded the third pick. They clearly didn't want to. They wanted Scoot, right? I understand their position on that. In that case, trade Dame then. When you know you have that third pick, go ahead and trade Dame then. Yeah, they probably should have traded Dame when they traded McCollum. I agree with all of this. I don't think Portland, how they've handled this whole thing, is in the right either. I do think that they have the right to not accept the Tyler Hero trade, and I do think they're put in a bad position because Dame and his agent are telling teams, hey, Dame's going to be unhappy if he goes here on this stuff.
That is smart, traditional agent move. You try to get your client where he wants to go. I don't think they did anything wrong. I don't think Dame Lillard has done anything wrong. I think Dame Lillard has handled this situation as well as he's wanted. He wants to dictate where he wants to go. It's a players' league, the NBA. He's done nothing wrong. James Harden, on the other hand, wants to go to the LA Clippers. He's doing a bunch of things wrong.
What? It's because it's the other LA team. It's the other.
He wants to go to the projects. He wants to live in the projects of Los Angeles. And we're all acting like, oh, it's an NBA team. Yeah, sure. They're all fighting. This man, Dave Lillard, wants to go to South Beach. He wants to go with the beaches. He wants to go to the Dolphins games. He wants to be, he wants to be on South Beach limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun. Meanwhile, James Harden going to not be able to get an Afro pick for his beard, living in the projects of Los Angeles, right across the street, right across the hall from the mansion that is the Los Angeles Lakers. He will always live in the shadow of the Lakers.
Trey says, could you really blame Dame for how Portland treated him? I think Portland was kind to him. I think Portland kind of tried to do stuff. I just don't think they're very competent. I like the Jeremy Grant signing. That was a good move to try to get him. McCollum, I mean, they felt the need to trade him. It was a lost season for them. The return package, what they got from McCollum wasn't great, but I'm not as super high on CJ McCollum as I think a lot of people were at that time anyway. McCollum's a fine player, but that partnership had kind of run its course. Nobody wants to go to Portland. And this is why if I'm Portland, people are like, oh, other stars are going to see how they treated Dame and they're not going to want to be there. Please tell me somebody Portland has actually signed that mattered over the last decade. You think Portland should care if oh wait, we traded Dame and that we had this bad fallout? Man, when Wemby is a free agent, he might not pick us. Nobody's picking y'all anyway, all right? They should not worry about this at all. They should not worry about it at all. They should do what's best for their franchise, but they can't do what's best for their franchise because the agent has said, don't even make an offer. Because if you make an offer and they accept it, he's not going to be happy here. So basically all they can do is the Miami trade and then try to do what they can based off of that. But they should not care one bit of like, hey, we look like the bad guys in this situation. How's this going to affect us with our with star players in free agency 5 years from now? One, it could be a completely different management 5 years from now. So who cares what this management does? Y'all could be fired in 5 years the way things are going because y'all ain't done that great of a job in the first place. But even if it's still the same management, nobody wants to go to Portland anyway. Nobody's picking Portland as their prime free agent destination out there. Lillard and McCollum had to beg Carmelo Anthony, a washed Carmelo Anthony, to come to Portland. That's been about their biggest free agent signing the entire time. And you got the money, you can throw the money, people will find some happiness out of that anyway. So if they have actual cap space on this stuff, things might be okay. Do what's best for your franchise. But again, they can't because the agent's like, oh, Dame's not going to be happy if you get traded here.
I totally forgot that Melo came to Portland.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That was a time. You had to be there. You had to be there, ladies and gentlemen. But I think that Dame should go where he needs to go. It's a time-honored tradition that these teams kind of listen and take into account these star players, where they want to go as far as they trade. And, I think the most recent memory, the only team that really didn't do that was, well, there's a couple of instances actually now with Paul George when he got traded from Indiana Pacers to Oklahoma City. He wanted to be in LA, whether it was for the Clippers or the Lakers. In a similar fashion, Kawhi Leonard wanted to be in Los Angeles, and then he got traded to the Toronto Raptors, and this was the Spurs kind of looking after themselves and taking the best deal possible in that regard. And they also were not on a good terms with Kawhi Leonard, so they would have sent his ass anywhere. And Kyrie Irving, he wanted to allegedly, reportedly, because I had people in the family who told me otherwise, like, no, he didn't want to be in Los Angeles, but reportedly, allegedly, he wanted to be in Los Angeles, and the Brooklyn Nets owner decided to ship him over to Dallas, where he is still their problem to this day.
This is why these franchises, if you're another franchise and you want to make the offer for Dame, let's make it. He's not sitting out for 3 years. He's not. It's a 3-year deal. He's just not going to sit out for that long. And by the way, a lot of these times, Kawhi, you got a championship out of. It was one season. You got a championship out of. It worked out for you. Like good job on that. A lot of these times with these big trades, these stars who demand these trades and want to go to a certain destination, doesn't always work out. Durant wanted to go to Phoenix last year for at least half a season. It didn't work. Brooklyn, when they got Harden, how'd that work out for them? Kyrie, when he going to Dallas, how'd that work out for them? A lot of these times, these star demand trades, it just doesn't always seem to work out. I'm sure there are other examples that I'm just forgetting off the top of my head. But like these star demand trades just doesn't guarantee you this type of success. Will Dame be in a great position? Yes, he will. Paul George, wanted to go to, you know what? The team that actually makes the trade for the disgruntled star who doesn't want to be there, it works out best for them than it does for the team who actually goes and gets this guy. Because Toronto, Kawhi didn't want to be in Toronto. Toronto made the deal. Toronto won a title. Paul George didn't want to be in Oklahoma City. He wanted to be in Los Angeles. Oklahoma City made the deal. Did they win a title? No. They're in a good position, though. They're in a real good position after that Paul George deal. These other teams, Kevin Durant wanted to be in Brooklyn. What'd he leave them with? Mikal Bridges? Mikal Bridges is good. I like Mikal.
On the other hand, Anthony Davis wanted to be in Los Angeles. We got a championship.
The return pack, the trade package was actually good. You're right. The Anthony Davis trade did work out for Los Angeles. It 100% did. But, you know, Kawhi wanted to be in Los Angeles. Paul George wanted to be in Los Angeles off of these deals. How's that been working for them?
Russell Westbrook. That's the difference. The Clippers are trash.
Russell Westbrook wanted to be,
who's on the team. Their team is trash.
James Harden wanted Russell Westbrook in Houston. He wanted to be in Houston. Russell Westbrook wanted to be in Los Angeles. LeBron wanted Russ in Los Angeles. How do these deals work out for these teams? these stars who demand these trades and want to go to a certain destination. It doesn't always work out for that team, but at least, yeah, Melo got traded to New York. How'd that work out for him? Like, some of these
they gutted that team too. I will never forget that. That gutted that New York team that was playing well when it was just Amari Stoudemire and Raymond Felton on that team. But hey, they wanted to get Melo. Melo wanted out. And I think that it hurt New York for years and years to come. And that's why they won nothing, like Trey said.
Dame will be in Miami. I'm sure Harden will be a member of the Lakers or the Clippers. Sorry. The Stars will get what they want.
We don't want that. We don't want that. Like that's like the worst person. The Clippers' issue the last couple of seasons has been their star players have not played in the playoffs, not even been on the court, and then you have someone who becomes John Cena whenever the playoffs start, where he's on the court, but you just can't see him.
The Clippers should just blow it up, honestly. Just blow it up.
I've been saying this for months now.
Trade Kawhi for whatever you can. Trade Paul George for whatever you can. Just make all these trades. Just whatever. They won't. They'll get James Harden probably on the cheap, and then we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens after that. Anything else you want to?
I think that is everything off-season wise. I mean, we had a couple of re-signings and pickups. Well, I gave you my ranking for the West. East right now, pre-Dame Lillard and James Harden trades, I'll go number one, Boston Celtics. The Porzingis trade, I think they needed a big on the inside, despite not having, you know, a firmed up point guard besides Malcolm Brogdon, who I think will play a more increased role on this team, and the loss of their defensive leader in Marcus Smart. I still think they have the best team overall. You have two firm, you know, duo in Brown and Tatum. I think they are the number one team in the East right now. Milwaukee, which I think had the best offseason of anybody in the East, re-signing Chris Middleton and re-signing Brooke Lopez, I thought was key. I think the new coaching is going to be a benefit to them because I think Budenholzer had lost his touch a long time ago, even before they won the championship. I thought he lost his touch. So I think the new coaching will help them out a lot. I think that was the big thing for them is that two big re-signings. And I think overall their team is going to be a lot better and have a chip on their shoulder after last season. Then I would go third, Miami. Miami, yes, they lost Gabe Vincent, but I think they retained most of their core players. And I think that even if the Dame Lillard trade doesn't go through, I still think they're going to make a deal throughout this season. I don't see Tyler Hero going into the playoffs Dame Lillard with them.
Trade's going through. Let's not act like it's going through.
I mean, that's what I'm saying right now, because I'm going to redo these rankings after Dame Lillard gets traded. As someone's playing music very loudly outside my window, I'll go Philadelphia, even with James Harden asking for the trade. I think that, you know, you got Joel Embiid, you got Tyrese Maxey. I think that the team might actually be better without James Harden, depending on what happens with that trade. And please don't take that Clippers deal. That Clippers package is trash. Every time I think about it, I hate
you can't do these rankings. You can't do these rankings until a lot of stuff still checks out.
This is my way too early free agency ranking. And then fifth, it changes because I like the Knicks offseason. I thought the Knicks made a couple of good re-signings. But I'll go with tentatively Cleveland. I'll say Cleveland at number five. Just they have most of their core that's coming back after last season, and I thought that they made, you know, certain moves that they needed to do, but nothing kind of big like the other teams in the East. So that's why I have those other four ahead of Cleveland right now.
Milwaukee, I'm bored by them. Like, re-signing Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton is good, but just, you know, they got a new coach. We'll see how that changes things. They're just running back the same stuff. It's just kind of boring. Like, it's fine. Like, they're a good team, but they're just boring. Like, it's not enamored. They should go after James Harden. Jrue Holiday for James Harden. That's the trade.
No. Why would you trade Jrue? I would try to keep Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis.
Yeah, I would too, but you got to give up one of the top three players, SP3. Why don't you give up one of the top three players?
That's why you signed Brooke Lopez. So a nice, healthy contract.
Put so you him trade in him there. As part of the deal? You just play Put Lopez in there. And Embiid?
Yep.
Yeah.
Twin Towers. Twin Towers, y'all. This is also true. Louis said, Bulls are bad, and they're running back. Bulls, man. Yeah, they probably had the worst offseason, one of the worst off seasons.
They didn't do anything. That was a
exactly.
It's bad because they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything,
and then they got news that their point guard is going to be out another season.
That's unfortunate. That's very unfortunate.
Worst off season.
It wasn't good. Like, they should have tried to trade these guys, but there's still a lot of off season left. It's July 11th. We got to see how the Dame trade when he finally goes to Miami. We got to see how the Harden trade when he finally goes to the Clippers. We got to see how that stuff just shakes out. And then there might be more moves around that as teams react to that. So we got to see how these moves start, finish first. And then we will see, you know, if other moves kind of happen. All right, SP3. I've severely defeated you today in all of our arguments.
Defeated me? You have never defeated me. You still owe me seven.
Never ups. Lost.
I've never lost. Let me talk. It's my turn.
SV3, go ahead and plug all of your stuff. We're going to get out of here as we've spent 90 minutes catching up on all the basketball that we've missed for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, this was fun. I always miss, whenever we miss a week or miss a time, I always am very happy when we can return to talk about basketball here. I want to thank everybody in the chat. Thank everybody who's watching on demand. Thank you, Jeremy. And you can follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. I will be back on YouTube sometime this week. I don't know. Yeah, tomorrow we're doing a review over on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel for Dark Side of the Ring Season 4, Episode 5 or 6, whichever it is, of Adrian Adonis. We'll be doing that tomorrow. Thursday, got our AEW Dynamite review. Friday, we're doing a preview for New Japan Pro Wrestling's G1 Climax. I think we're also doing a Slammiversary preview this week. So we got plenty of content on True Hill Heat. It's TRU, no E if you're listening to this. And we are very close to 8,000 subscribers. And you can go over there and press the join button to become a member for just $1 a month. So some great stuff over there on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel.
Everyone go support SP3 and Romeo and all of the crew is doing over there, doing great work. So I always see the watch alongs for like every single event that is happening, every single show that is happening, taking place. So go support SP3. Breaking news, I guess. I don't know. But if you're listening to this, this is probably the first time I think it's been mentioned. SP3 is actually going to be back on the spotlight this week, hosting with Steven Jensen. So yeah, FMC exclusive here for everybody, because I don't think we've announced this anywhere else. SP3 is co-hosting the spotlight with Steven Jensen this week. I'm going to North Carolina again to continue to do personal stuff there. So I'm flying on Thursday morning. I'm going to try to make a run-in, like literally as I get on my flight. No promises, but regardless, SP3 will be there. And we do have an interview. I did do record the interview with Jensen last night. So you will see my face on the show as part of the interview. But SP3 will be hosting the bulk of the show, the meat of everything. So yeah, that'll be on Thursday. And then otherwise, Fightful overbooked a lot of stuff, a lot of dumb stuff, a lot of fun stuff. That rhymed. So yes, there you go, everybody. Just watch. Cher Delaware will likely be back next week. We were basketball heavy. We should have had her on to give her thoughts on Wimby and Brittany. Honestly,
yes, we gotta make like we gotta do a whole episode where we do a celebrity deathmatch card.
Like we Ooh, book. I like this.
We like book this. A celebrity deathmatch card. Since we no longer have celebrity deathmatch, we now need to be the bookers and book our own celebrity deathmatch card. Victor Wembanyama versus Britney Spears.
One of the greatest shows of all time, honestly.
It is. Deathmatch. It like so no fun. No jokes is no jokes. That's one of my favorite all time MTV shows.
Yeah, it's a tremendous show. I like this idea, by the way. So yeah, all right, everybody. Maybe we'll do that in the coming weeks. Basketball will slow down, like news and stuff will slow down a little bit. So we're gonna have to figure some stuff, get some ideas going here. So I do like the celebrity deathmatch idea. Anyway, Cher Delaware will be back probably next week with us. So there you go, everyone. Fightful overbooked. Support SB3 at True Heel SB3 and True Heel Heat. Don't follow me on Twitter, even though it's posted there, but don't actually follow me on Twitter. All right, everybody. Bye, everyone. Talk to y'all next week.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried and true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.